Thessalonians chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed.
So we're on week 4 of our series called The Creed, and we've been spending some time going through the Apostles' Creed, almost line by line, looking at what we see as some of the essential truths for us as Christians. When we boil it all down, what are the essential things you and I, as followers of Jesus, want to hold true to? And this week, we move on to this wonderful line in the Apostles' Creed that tells us this about Jesus. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. What we looked at last week, Jesus' death and his suffering, is not the end of the story. Isn't that great news? This is the heart of the gospel. The good news of Jesus is that he is alive. You know, the Apostles' Creed isn't just some dry doctrine to take us through some beliefs and the things that we need to hold to. It's not just dry theology. This is the hope. This is the thing that we cling to, the truth, where the power is, that death wasn't the end for Jesus, and that 3 days later he rose again. And you know what? If Jesus rose from the dead, that means that death is not the end. How good is that? That's something for us to celebrate this morning. We celebrate it at Easter, but let's celebrate that every day. Jesus is alive. Death is not the end. And for me, this shows us that the resurrection proves that nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. You know, we come up against some tough stuff in life, don't we? We go through all sorts of ups and downs. And you know what? That life can seem quite bleak, especially at the moment during this time of pandemic. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ promises us and shows us that nothing is impossible. If a dead man can rise from the dead, what else is possible in your life and my life and around the world? You know, I love this verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that just for me captures what the resurrection of Jesus Christ is all about. It says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Isn't that what happened on that third day? The old was gone. The new came back to life. Jesus came to life. The new was here. And what I want us to think about this morning is how that newness of life and that hope is available to each one of us today. That's what the Apostles' Creed reminds us. So let's have a look, let's dig in a little bit into what we're looking at. And the first thing I want us to think about this morning is this, is that Jesus' resurrection is historical. The fact that it's there in the Apostles' Creed is there to remind us that this is an actual event. Jesus really did come back to life. Last week, one of my points as we went through that line about Jesus' suffering and his death, we looked at the fact that Jesus' suffering was historical. Well, we can say the same about the resurrection. resurrection as well. Our reading this morning was from 1 Corinthians 15. And let's have a look at that, a few of those verses. Again, it says this: "For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born." And breathe. It's a lot of information there, isn't there? But it's amazing the detail that the Apostle Paul goes into, isn't it? It's amazing the detail that he drags out. Why is he doing this? Why does he mention all these people and the number of people that Jesus appeared to? Why does he mention that, you know, he appeared to him as one abnormally born, that his own, the way that he was born by caesarean section? Why does he even kind of mention that? It's because Paul here is trying to give us historical anchors to hook the resurrection of Jesus Christ onto. He's determined that in the years to come, we won't just think that this was a fantastic story or a myth that was made up. He wants us to know that this is historical fact. Look who he mentions. He says that Jesus, after he was raised on the third day, he said he appeared to Cephas. Cephas, that is Peter, who we know better known as Peter. And then he mentions the 12. That's the 12 disciples that Jesus appeared to. We can read in the Gospels how he did that. He appeared to them in that room. After that, he says Jesus appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. I mean, that's incredible, isn't it? That there was a moment in those 40 days after Jesus was raised from the dead, before he went to be with his Father in heaven, there was a moment where he appeared to 500 people at one time. That's a lot of eyewitnesses, isn't it? You know, I mean, if there was a crash in Frinton High Street and you were there and you saw it and you were asked to report on it, you know, the police would be looking for maybe one, two, maybe three witnesses to corroborate what went on. But 500 people? That's a lot of eyewitnesses who saw Jesus come back to life. And then he goes on. He appeared to James. That's his brother. Then to all the apostles. These are credible people. People that the church trusted at the time. He appeared to them. And last of all, Paul mentions that Jesus appeared to him. When was that? That's the story that we read about in the book of Acts, where Saul was travelling to Damascus, and on that Damascus road, Jesus appeared to him and he went blind. That's what he's referring to then. You know, I just love how Paul writes here. So much detail. It's almost like he's standing up in court saying, "This is my case. This is the case for Jesus' resurrection from the dead." And it gives all this historical detail to prove that. You know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is historical. It's historical. And every time we read that line in the Apostles' Creed, that on the third day he rose again, we can read that in faith, that this is a moment in history that actually happened. And you know, that's so important for you and for I. It's so important because what that means is that our faith is built on fact as well as feelings. You know, so much of my belief in Jesus is based on feelings. You know, I felt him touch my life. I regularly feel Jesus filling me with his Spirit. I feel that I am loved by God and I love him. So much of my faith is about feelings. But do you know what? There are some days where it's difficult. There are some days where it's tough. Where things seem to be coming at me and you know, and I start to doubt. On those days, I need to know that my faith can be built on fact, not just my feelings. If I relied on my feelings, then my belief in Jesus would go up and down depending on what side of the bed I get up in the morning. But it's not. when it's hard, when it's difficult, when the doubts come, we can turn to passages like this in 1 Corinthians 15 and say, it's fact. This really did happen. You know, Jesus really is a historical figure. Jesus' suffering and his death is historical fact. And the resurrection of Jesus is historical fact too. But you know what? It's more than that. It's more than that as well. You know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ brings hope as well. His resurrection brings hope. Look at what it says here in Romans chapter 8. The Spirit of the God who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. So the God who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your bodies. He will do this because of his Spirit who lives in you. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting what it tells us there? That actually the resurrection power of Jesus Christ lives in us. Not only that, but he brings life to us as well. He brings hope to us. How much power do you think it took to raise Jesus from the dead? A lot. Let's agree on that. It was a lot. It was a lot of power. And that same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to you and to me. He doesn't just keep it to himself. He shares it with us. And when we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, when we put our trust in him, the Bible tells us that a deposit of the Spirit is given to us. Holy Spirit comes and is part of our lives. And it's that same Spirit that all those years ago that energized Jesus' body, breathed life back into him and rolled the stone away. That's available for you and for me. That brings hope. And that power turns a group of fishermen into preachers. That same power turns a man like Zacchaeus, a tax collector, working for the enemy, working for the Romans. It changes his life so that he becomes a follower of Jesus. That same power takes a woman out of the well who was discarded by her society and by her group. It turns her into an evangelist who goes back to her village and says, come and meet the man who told me everything about myself. That same power reaches into a woman's life who's got uncontrollable bleeding and again is ostracized by her society, changes her life and heals her and brings her back into her society. This is the power that raised Jesus from the dead, and it brings hope and it brings life to each one of us. And the good news is that it's not just about changing people's lives in Jesus' day. This same power is changing men and women's lives today. And I want to share a story with you now. Earlier on this week, I was able to interview Jane. And you're going to watch that video now because Jane came and she did the Alpha course at our church back in January. And she has encountered the hope and the life that the resurrection of Jesus brings. This is a great story. You're really going to enjoy it. So, Jane, thank you for joining me for a little chat. It's really good to see you. Jane, a lot of people may not know you. So could you tell us a bit about yourself? Just introduce yourself.
Cool. Of course. I'm Jane Ward. I'm married to Kevin. We've been married 27 years. We've got two children, 25 and 22. And we live in Holland. I joined Alpha with you, Mark, and in January this year. And things have taken off since then, really.
Oh, we're going to dig into some of that. It's going to be great.
We are indeed.
And Jane, work-wise, career-wise, what sort of things have you done?
I'm a teacher at Colton Institute. I've loved my job, actually adored my job. But I had to stop teaching because I had a cancer diagnosis in December 2018, which knocked us for six. After mastectomy, I found out that I had breast cancer. it was a hard week because my mother-in-law died that week and I had my own mother's funeral that week. So it was quite a devastating week.
Three sort of hammer blows, really.
Yeah, yes. So 2019 started off with chemo, as you do, and I was about to have my mastectomy when they found out 3 days prior to that that my breast cancer has increased and I've got 5 spots on my spine. So because of that, my mastectomy was cancelled, because to take away the primary source of cancer could aggravate the secondaries. So that's where we're at. It's been quite tough treatment, but the support I've had has been great.
So, you know, been, I guess, well, about 20 months since that original diagnosis.
Yes, it is.
And as you say, tough treatment, tough time. And we met first in January this year. We were just saying how quick, you know, wow, it just seems like a lifetime ago in one sense, but it's gone really quick. We met about 9 months ago on the Alpha course. You and your friend Claire came along to Alpha, which was great.
Indeed.
And we journeyed together. Tell us a bit about Alpha. And just the impact that had on you.
Right. Well, initially I went to an Alpha in Ireland. My twin sister lives in Ireland and they were going on this course and I was over there. So I went to one session with them and I thought, I'll try that at home. So I went online to find your Alpha course starting in January. And I asked my friend if she'd like to come with me, and she really was enthusiastic by it. And we joined, and it took us, say, a couple of weeks to really settle in, to know this is what we wanted to do. And we were in your mini group, your and Claire mini group, and we were all so different, but it was a great little mini group. And yeah, we discovered God, and it just has got such a warm feeling inside, and it's kind of a part of who I am now, Mark.
Absolutely.
You know, it's incredible, the change, the transition.
So tell us about that change. What do you think's changed?
Well, there's like a warm, I know the diagnosis I have has been quite tough, but it just seems as though there's a warm glow inside me to help me cope with it now. Mm. And yeah, so lovely to feel part of the church family, even though I've never set foot inside the church yet.
strange thing, isn't it? You're part of the church, but I think you came to like the final service we could do before lockdown, didn't you?
And, that's right. Yeah.
but yeah, so we were doing Alpha. We didn't quite get to the end.
No.
Because of COVID, because of the lockdown, and we carried on online, and you hinted at something there that I think this was back in May, and we were doing a little Alpha follow-up group online, and in May I remember you sharing with the group, and we knew about your cancer diagnosis, we knew about your treatment, and you said it had increased, hadn't you? That they'd found these extra spots.
We went through another scan in May and it showed that my cancer had increased. My medication had been stopped for 9 weeks because of COVID. And as a result of that, my 5 spots needed to increase to 8 spots on my spine.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, I obviously went straight back onto treatment.
Yeah.
It was another blow, really.
It was huge, and I remember you telling us as a group, and at that point, I remember asking and saying, Jane, could I ask the church to pray? We'd been praying as a small group, but with that news, it just seemed we needed to get more people praying, and a lot of people watching this might, especially who gets our news sheet and stuff, will know, maybe recognise your name because you've been there since May saying, please pray for Jane. who's having a bone cancer treatment, and that was carrying on. And so you were going for your treatment, the church had been praying.
Yes.
And And then this week, this past week, you've had an appointment, you've had a phone call with your oncologist. And I'd love you to share what the news was in that phone call.
What happened, I had another scan in September, early on in September, to say that, every 3 months I have a scan to see how the cancer is progressing, really, with the treatment. And my oncologist phoned me up to say that they think, two oncologists think they have made a mistake. They think the increase is, in fact, healing.
Wow.
They've got to confirm this with their team, but they're pretty sure that the cancer hasn't grown. What they see is the healing. So, in fact, it's even better than it stopped growing. The fact that it's increasing is incredible news.
Yeah.
So they'll phone me in a couple of weeks to say basically the update, and potentially if their thoughts have been confirmed, they'll have to review the treatment, potentially now I will have my mastectomy, and yeah, so it's incredible. It is absolutely incredible. I mean, we can't believe it. We haven't come down from that high, actually.
I remember you said to me, you know, how you look at the prayer that's been taking place and you look at the result of this scan, and what does that say to you?
Well, it only leads to one thing, doesn't it? You know, it's that, you know, surely that is God doing his work for us. And I tell something that's so lovely. I came in to see you once on Wednesday.
Oh, for the once and, prayer in Oasis. Yeah.
That's right. And a lady there that was with you called Anne came up to me. I didn't know Anne. And she said, oh, lovely to meet you. I'm one of the ladies that have been praying for you. And it was so amazing to feel that warmth of the church towards me, and I haven't even been in your church yet. So it was incredible. So yeah, it's just, yeah, it's not a miracle, to be honest.
Absolutely.
It feels like a miracle.
I think at Sunday Online today we've been thinking about, you know, the resurrection of Jesus, and we've been thinking about the hope that that brings, and it just seems to me that Jesus has put his hope inside of you.
Absolutely. I mean, we hoped that the cancer hadn't spread, didn't dream that there would be healing taking place. So it is amazing. We can hardly believe it ourselves. But yeah, it feels incredible, and it just feels that warmth inside me feels incredible too. It's
the Holy Spirit, Jesus, is now working out his purposes.
Yes. So I'm really, truly grateful for all the church has done for me.
And
I'm truly grateful.
Just to sort of begin to finish up with, the great news is that what looked like it had spread, what looked like it had grown, is actually healing. But there's still a cancer diagnosis there for you. Oh. We've got to carry on praying.
Thank you so much. Absolutely. We're not out of the woods yet, but it's a great step in the big scheme of things. And, yeah, I mean, we just can't, we're ecstatic about the result. So it's good enough for us for now. So that would be lovely.
Can I pray for you? And I'm going to, those people watching will join in. Let's pray for you.
Thank you
for what you're doing in Jane's life. Thank you for bringing her to our church, and for the fact she did Alpha 9 months ago, and for how you've drawn her to yourself, and the faith and the trust she's put in you. And Father, thank you for how you've really held her hand during this really tricky time, difficult time. And we want to give some glory to you now, Father, for the healing that's taken place in Jane's life. We believe that's a real answer to prayer. Thank you for the hope that we see in Jane. And that's the resurrection power from you, Jesus, at work in her. And we continue to commit her to you. Keep your healing hand on her. And would we soon hear more good news about how this cancer is healing in Jane's life. Keep her and Kevin in the palm of your hand. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
How good was that? Isn't it incredible what God has been doing in Jane's life? And please keep praying for her, because really she's still got a lot on her plate and she still needs our prayers and God's ongoing healing work in her life. But thank you, Jane, for taking part in that interview. On the third day, Jesus rose again. That is historical fact. But it's more than that. As we've seen in Jane's life, as he's done to my life, and I'm sure many of your lives, he brings hope and life. The same spirit which raises Christ from the dead comes and lives in each one of us. You know, this is the best news that has ever been given. Boy, do we need some good news now, don't we? Our world needs good news. We all need some good news. You don't have to look far for it. You just need to look to the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus to find the best news ever. He is changing lives. And he wants to change your life today. Will you let him? We're going to take some time to worship again, and this song I've chosen, I think, is really appropriate for us as we respond to what God has been saying to us through his word. It talks about Jesus being the treasure that we're seeking. It talks about him bringing healing, and when we're feeling dry, he comes and fills us up. I want to invite you to worship now and just to reach out and ask for that resurrection power of Jesus Christ to come and fill you afresh, for the Holy Spirit to come and touch each one of you.